And a recent report claims that the new generation of babies could live to 100 years old. 100 years old!
That's pretty old.
Yes, a century old, if not longer than that, then it just sounds like some people could almost be immortal.
So, and also would mean that basically 30s really are like the new 20s almost.
Yeah. Ooh. So we'd still be babies in that way of calculating things. Yeah. So what would our world look like if Earth is populated by 100-year-old people? How realistic is this? And of course, I'll need to ask the ultimate question of, will we be able to afford it? Let's talk about the 100-year-old life expectancy of people. How is it being calculated?
You have asked a very good question, because all these conclusion and assumption comes from this dissertation named "We'll Live to 100. How Can We Afford It?" So that's like the key question here. And what the researchers in this report, or come up with this report, did was to take a look at the history and see and realize that people's longevity has been increased year after year. So people's life expectancy at birth in 2017, meaning babies born this year, will have a 107-year-old lifelong expectancy on average. And that is to say, in Japan, which has one of the world's most rapid aging populations, retirement begin at 60. That means they will have over 45 years of retirement.
Oh my gosh, yes. Sign me up, folks. I'm not even, 45. That's longer than I've been on this planet by a lot. Suddenly, I feel really young. Continue, New Hongli.
Yeah. So theoretically, it has been increasing by 1 year on average every 5 years. Besides, born today in 2017 can expect to live to over 101 on average of the world figure. In other words, people born this year will live to see the year 2117. And the truth is, those people are now still babies and little kids maybe.
Yeah, okay, so this doesn't apply to the whole, of course, entire world. Certain areas that I think that are more modern and developed, you'll see that people live to those longer life expectancies. Like, let's take China, for example. The average life expectancy in China is 72.
Mm-hmm.
But then you take a place like Beijing, and it's meeting those levels seen in other developed areas, that being in the 80s, okay? So that's the current situation for people maybe like our generation and whatnot. But as you said, these people, these babies being born, today in 2017, some people are saying they could live to see the year 2117. I mean, imagine what the world will look like then. Instead of you wheeling around yourself in a wheelchair, it's going to be floating wheelchairs. And, doesn't that sound in a way pretty cool? But I think, of course, it's the human condition, I think, to want to cheat death. I think that's why we've advanced in so many ways. But when I was looking at this, the truth is, these are babies we're talking about. These are babies. These are little kids. And I think it's important to note that they haven't reached these older ages yet, where I think complications will come. So here's a good point. Cancer is a relatively recent kind of cause of death that has become common. And a lot of people maybe would ask, why is it so common nowadays? And that's because we literally, over the past generations, they say in modern history, 5 years has equaled one average year to the average life expectancy. After 5 years, we're just getting a year and a year and a year on in this modern times we've lived in. So with that being said, I think we found that as we get older, we hit these roadblocks. Actually, our bodies weren't meant to last, I think, to these ages, but in certain circumstances, they are getting there. And mm-hmm. So, I'll say I got these stats provided by LiveScience.com, and they said, I'll show you here with these stats. Cancer largely affects the senior population. About 77% of all cancers are diagnosed in people over the age of 55, a segment of the U.S. population that is expected to live by this population of cancer victims is expected to double by 2060. And according to the National Cancer Institute, seniors have an average life expectancy of about 79 years. Okay, but on average, while 73 is the median age for people who have cancer to die. So you're seeing that cancer is claiming lives at a much lower age than the, not much lower, but a lower age than the national life expectancy of those it's affecting. So I think what I'm trying to say here is as we get older, we notice more problems. And so these kids are babies. We're saying, oh yeah, you know, they're going to live to these bright years of their twilight years and much, much longer. But in actuality, I think a lot remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think that's the fun and also the peril of making these predictions.
Yeah.
Because God knows if we'd be able to live till that day to even know what comes out of this.
Or even if you'd want to, who knows what life would be like at that age?
Yes. Yeah, so I think we're talking about the future. We're trying to make predictions according to what we see right now. And there are a lot of variables to it. I feel it's almost like a sci-fi movie that we live in. And I'm interested to see what happens next. With this interesting prediction of people or babies born now and also in developed countries, it's not entirely the same all over the globe. So with countries that have already got a high level of healthcare, social security, and economic development, that it is possible, according to the World Economic Forum dissertation published as such, to say that this estimation could happen, you know, so theoretically, you know, increasing by 1 year on average, then every 5 years there could be longevity in play, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing that comes out of this is we're trying to predict a very smooth trajectory, but when you look at history, yes, we've experienced a few generations of innovation and revolution, but in the future, we don't necessarily know, like, if there's going to be another industrial revolution as such that could make it possible, or maybe not. So also with the human mechanism we have right now, it's just very hard to imagine that so many people would be able to live for such a very long time. And it's interesting that, Ryan, you made the comparison of the life expectancy according to a different theory, which is more applicable, I think, right now, is doing the math of collecting the average life expectancy of people according to the current population. And we see that, you know, currently it seems to be 72 years old for Chinese people. And it's quite a big gap. I do wonder if that can easily be met.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're going to talk about some of the problems because at first, on the surface level, this sounds great. We live longer, right? Everybody wants to live longer. But what happens when you live longer? Well,
yeah.
You know, some of these things, I think, first of all, Nuhong Lin had mentioned something really interesting, and that is Japan being one of the world's most rapidly aging populations. And the retirement begins at 60. So that's 45 years of retirement, possibly taking pensions. And this could be one of the bigger generations. I think, as you find, many developed countries aren't having as many babies as those that are less developed. So you see a rapidly aging population living much longer and having possibly these 45 years of retirement. So first of all, off the cusp, the population of the world is already so huge, right? And so this would mean that the population would just expand rapidly. Nobody would be dying, but we would probably still have babies, right? Also, financially, okay? So, you know, right now I think a lot of people and pension systems are kind of planned to make it so your twilight years, or even a little bit earlier than that, you can have access, or this is the goal at least, you can have access to a kind of pension, a social security, if you will, that allows you to be able to live without working, and also, you know, maybe get access to medications you might need. But when the population is much older and is taking advantage of this, and the population working and paying into this is much younger and smaller than the older population, then you're going to find this just isn't doable. The situation is basically there's far too many elderly and far too little young people to be able to support the elderly.
Yes, that is the financial woe that already I think a lot of countries are experiencing. But also, if people can live till 100 years old, wouldn't it be mean that retirement would probably be pushed back as well?
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I think it's a good thing, and it's kind of an ultimate goal for humans to do. We do a lot of scientific research, not only because we wanted to learn more about the world, to understand it more, but also because we want to know more about ourselves, to live longer. I think for people in their twilight years, like Ryan has said, they're not thinking about going to crazy adventures or see the world anymore. They may be thinking about, I want to see my granddaughter getting married. I want to see what her baby looks like. Things like this. So maybe I still remember one of our listeners asking questions about how can I turn down my parents' matchmaking plan for me? And I think this can be a perfect reason. You can tell your parents, I'm really young compared to the same age when you reach that age, because we live longer now. I don't have to be mature. I don't have to grow up that fast. We can take time to do these things. And if we take time to get mature, we can certainly have more time to work, maybe until 65, or sometimes if your health condition is good enough, to 70s. I know this senior doctor who is a really good cardiovascular, around his 85, he's a Chinese doctor, and he's still doing rounds in English, and it's really good for the patients, and it's really good for him because he's not suffering from any kind of severe memory loss or something. The harder you use your brain, the slower it rusts, I guess.
Yeah, you know, to paint this problem with specific numbers, by the year 2050, the whole world will see a $400 trillion gap on pensions. In China, that gap is 4.7 trillion yuan. So basically, anyone born in the 70s, in the 80s, guys, you probably won't be able to take advantage of the system that you're probably paying into already. I know it's sad, but this is the way of the world. And, you know, looking at this, what else can you do? So, of course, we can suggest, the life expectancy is longer, so that means you guys got to keep working. But the quality, okay, so yes, the quantity has increased, but the quality of mentality, of your ability to rationalize the world, your ability to physically do things, I don't know if that necessarily increases. So I don't think we should mistake quantity necessarily with the quality, the ability to perform as well as someone in their 30s. I am very skeptical whether this took into account the fact that these people will be able to run laps when they're in their 80s. You know, I jokingly said, you know, 30s will be the new 20s. But by this kind of measurement, if we consider quality, 30s will always be, in a way, your 30s, because you might live longer, but you're still going to hit the same problems 30-year-olds hit in living that long on Earth, in having reality affect you that long. These kinds of things will always be there. It's just going to be longer.
Yeah, but what if technology improves and living condition improves, and if the ailment you feel now as an older person, let's say someone who's 60, or 70, but the problems, health problems can be solved, and you can prolong your life and also maybe stamina longer in the future, because that seems to be constantly what humans have achieved in the last decades.
You know, this is an interesting line of questioning, because I thought, you know, we all accept that aging happens, but why does it happen? And actually, this is something that only has a specific number of theories. One of these, and the most popular as I understand, is the theory of aging is based on the concept that damage, either due to normal toxic byproducts of the metabolism or inefficient repair/defense systems, accumulates throughout the lifespan, the entire lifespan, and causes aging. So basically, what you do and where you live affects how long you live. So maybe in a perfect scenario, you would live for much longer time. There's also this one that your cells are programmed at a certain point, either by genetics or whatnot, to start aging, right? There's also this theory called calorie restriction. And I believe this was discovered in 1934. And by testing this, the lifespan of rats was increased by 50%. But you know, immortality actually exists in some cases. And I was doing this kind of research. There is this small freshwater-based animal called the hydra. And it's native to temperate and tropical regions. Biologists are really interested in this animal, and I'll tell you why. Because of their regenerative ability, they appear to not age or not die of old age. So, you know, science is chasing this. It's chasing the immortality, this holy grail, yeah, so to speak, that we've always wanted since the beginning of time. So looking at this, you know, and Hoyoung, you had mentioned before the show too, people are talking about transferring your consciousness into computers. This is a form of immortality in a way as well. And so the future is just, it's easy to get lost in, but it definitely, one thing is for sure, people want to live longer.
And people are living longer, and that is... regardless of these two sets of stats, which you want to believe in, there's the 100-year-old for new generation of babies and the 80-year-old, that's the life expectancy for current population, if you're pretty lucky, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yes, either way, we're living longer. And that means that I think the way that we can organize the events that happen in life for those things that are in the control of our hands will be pushed back a little bit. And that is the part that I find that is interesting. But there are so many forces in today's daily life that we feel is kind of like pulling us back. And it's a constant struggle.
Like being a man. In a way, it's holding us back. I'm just joking. Because in average, we have this expectation of living to 97. But if you're a man, well, that's in average. But if you're a man, you wanted to minus 3 years off from that. Mm-hmm. But if you have experienced college education, that's 1 year plus. And if you live in more than 100 million urban areas, that's minus 2 years, and the list goes on. Basically, there are so many factors in life that are affecting your lifetime. And for me, time is always like a kind of resources. The longer, the more resource I have, the more things I can do. And we always sort the things or put them on the list in a way to see which one is necessity, saying like, I wanted to do something in my life. But the longer you got, you can do not necessary, but entertaining and fun things in your life.
Yeah, you know, I do want to say too, so we notice this trend. People are living longer and longer, it seems. And so in which case, guys, this is no news to you. It's time to start planning for those days where maybe you'll be older and you won't want to work. You know, that sounds nice. 45 years of retirement. So to see that come to fruition, you know, I think some better ways to make sure that the elderly population are taken care of is an investment into this thing. Mm-hmm. Better ways to maybe manage this pension system. Have more babies, y'all. Hey, why not? I mean, I'm sure the process is enjoyable. And then, you know, also if you are elderly, things like try to look into investments, make some good investments. My grandfather was able to retire at a very early age because he worked very hard. And he made some really good investments, and that's kept him floating for so long. So, you know, don't rely on just these kind of things that are promised, but you know, you're not sure are going to be there. The best thing to do is make these plans. And I think especially the investment thing, you can really do a lot of things to help yourself.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. And Ryan,
you
did the prediction realistically according to current conditions.
Yeah.
And I'll do a little bit of predicting in light of artificial intelligence.
Ooh.
And I think that could be the drive of the next technological revolution. And in the future, if it is like what Li Kaifu said about AI taking over the world and so many jobs, which means there's not going to be that many jobs for humans. And it is possible that the productivity and the wealth that AI can create according to humans well, then make it possible for people to retire early and have the fun, entertaining life.
You know, I think what we're saying here, folks, is there's a lot of interesting things and speculation we can do for this just near future, these kids that are being born today. So I think, I mean, I feel I can say that this is one of the most interesting times to live in. And so in that case, all this speculation, all this stuff, it's really interesting. I just hope that the future is very bright.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty bright
now. I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're a man or a rich man, you know, all these New Hong Lin have been saying -2 years, -3 years.
Apparently, those premises take a couple of years off your life.
Yeah, I stopped counting after a while.
And our WeChat listener, Eva, says, if I have to lay in bed for the next few decades until death, I'd rather not live that long. So longevity might not be the pursuit of everyone. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Yo Honglin.